We'll call the Plan Commission meeting for the Village of Alloway for Monday, April 28, 2014, at 6:30 p.m. at Alloway Village Hall to order. Roll call. Hanson?
Here.
Trustee Dart?
Here.
Kuppenrud?
Here.
Doran?
Here.
Roll?
Here.
Kalata? Here. And we have Retzloff is marked as excused. He should be coming later this evening. Agenda topic 2, modify, adopt the agenda.
Trustee Dart? To adopt the agenda as presented.
By Dart, is there a second?
I'll second.
Kuppenrud, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. Agenda topic 3, minutes from the March 24, 2014 meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity to review? Any comments?
I did not attend the meeting, but under general discussion in our zoning code, in the maybe the third sentence, it says the committee took a look at the latest zoning map, and we have 7 different zoning codes. It should say we have 7 different zoning districts. The zoning code goes through all 7 of the districts rather than codes, and specifically lays each district out and tells so that for 3 in 3 spots the word needs to be changed.
Good. Thank you. Do you have that, Sherry? Mm-hmm. Any other? Otherwise, I have one on page 2 under a presentation by Fred Monique from the Advanced Economic Development Tool. It starts off Monique, Vice President. I think we want Fred or Mr. or something in front of that. Right, Sherry?
Okay.
Excellent. Does anyone else have any other changes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
With the changes?
With
both changes. Kuppenrud, a second. Trustee Dart, any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Go on. Tracy, is there any announcements that you would have? No?
And it's on.
Okay, I'll just go. As you all probably know, you received an email from me a few weeks ago that I'm leaving my position with the Village of Alloway. And I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed working with you all. You are very hardworking. Started with the committee, moved to the commission. We've done a lot since the time I've been here. And like I said, you've done a great job. We've got a lot of knowledge up there. And I just want to encourage you to keep working and working hard. And I appreciate everything you've done, and the village board does as well. So I will miss working with you, and hope you keep moving and doing what you've been doing all these past years. So.
Thank you, Tracy, and the Plan Commission, we do want to thank you for all your efforts. I remember when we used to be a planning and zoning committee, we were heavy on zoning and no planning, and you kept saying hang in there, and I was looking at maybe getting off of the committee, and at that time you said there's a lot of work to be done, hang in there, so thank you for encouraging me and recruiting other members to join this group. There's no other announcements? Trustee Dart, any announcements? Agenda topic 5.
One more question.
Oh, yes.
Thank Alex. He's one of our internees at the end of the table here. He did a planning zoning internship with us this past semester, and he did a great job. He's been presenting a couple things that he worked on tonight as well, so I just wanted to thank you for all the hard work for us. So.
Thank you. Now agenda topic 5, any public appearances that anyone would like to say now? Yes, please come up to the podium, state your name and address, please.
I think it would be more beneficial with Dan from the Hillcrest Lumber Percentages.
We'll get to that later on in the agenda. So is there any public appearances before we get to that? Hearing none, going once, going twice, you will have opportunity for comment later on. So no public appearances. Agenda topic 6, site plan review for Village View Apartments 3415 Hilltop Way. Tracy, is there anything that you have first?
Maybe a couple things quick, just to kind of remind you of where we are and how we kind of got to where we are right now. As you know, this is a site where the fire was last year at the apartment, a 74-unit apartment at that time, and was destroyed in the fire. So the developer is looking to rebuild on the site. And when it first came to the Planning Commission, we were looking at a planned district development. Then the developer looked back at the site and decided he could meet some sort of
Which one is the bottom?
Can you see that? So they went back to the to start over, and the development that you have before you tonight does meet the zoning code. The zoning is a high density district. It meets the setback requirements, it meets the density, it meets the parking, it meets all the necessary things that are required in the zoning code. So therefore, it can go through the site plan review committee, or site plan review process rather than a PDD process. And just a reminder of what that process is, basically the developer has met with staff. We have an internal committee that gets together, including the fire chief, the public works director, planning and zoning administrator, forester, and look at the plan, give them any input at that time. They revise it and get it back to us for one more review before it does come to Plan Commission. And then it goes to Plan Commission, you guys review it, go through it all, looking at it to make sure it does meet the zoning code and any other things that you do see on the plan. Then you do send a recommendation to the village board, and if the village board approves it, then it is an approved development. With PDD, it's a four-step process. It goes preliminary, preliminary, final, final, and then a public hearing. Site plan review does not require as many meetings, and it does not require a public hearing as well. So that is the process. Does anybody have any questions on that? Otherwise, I recommend that the developer can go through the plan, tell you what he has, answer any questions you have, and then at the end, the staff can go through any comments that we have on it as well.
Sounds good. Thank you for that overview. And Tracy, one other question. When would this, depending on what the decision is made tonight, when would this go to the village board?
It would go to May 6th, village board.
May 6th. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Dan Doro, project supervisor for Hillcrest Homes. For this project, thank you for moving me up in batting order tonight. I don't know if that was intentional or not, but I appreciate it. We do have a new rendering here from the last one, and I can, I don't know if everybody can see it. I can pass it around or whatever. I think it shows a whole lot better from the last time when we were here. It shows the roof lines. Part of the concern last time was in the straight building. This shows more of the roof lines around the porches are where they're staggered in and out. As hip roofs across the whole front, the building is staggered in and out. It will be an all-brick building. The colors on that, here's the samples that we have picked, the colors that we have picked, it will be all brick. So it'll be all maintenance free. White windows, white cornice, so the overhangs, the soffit, and the gutters and everything will be white. Should bring the brick out real nice, we think. So should have real nice curb appeal. Hopefully the neighbors will, you know, be happy to have it in the neighborhood. It still is, it has an elevator, so it's, you know, we feel it's an upscale apartment, but we still have the elevator in it. It'll have individual laundry in each apartment and stuff, so I think it's going to be a real nice project. More green space, obviously the last apartment, you know, nobody wanted to go through what happened with the last one, but that apartment was 74, and this is 48, so it'll be more green space, so it should be a real nice fucking apartment. We've gone through the steps, like Tracy mentioned, with the other meetings. We have pretty much everything worked out. There was a couple of things that were brought up that we're working on with the site plan as far as I know one thing we had to go through in the county as far as the lines. We have changed some of the trees that were under the lines to smaller bushes and stuff like that. We've gone through the ATC, the first part of it. There was no hold up of that, but now it goes to the second committee or something like that. So we did it for them as far as the power lines going through the easement for that. So couple of little issues that we're working on, but pretty much everything else, I think, is all set.
Dan, from my perspective, it would be helpful. The staff gave a letter with some comments from April 21st, and I'd like, rather than bounce around, maybe just go through those and maybe give an update or just where we are with some of those comments.
I don't have that letter right in front of me.
Well, I can read it.
And that's fine. I think most of the stuff was all...
And maybe some of it is and maybe some of it isn't, but I think it would be helpful as a starting point before the Planning Commission gets into our general discussion just to cover what are the staff comments. So in this, I guess the first letter attached was from the fire marshal, and he had just talked about, and we don't need to go through.
And I can touch on that. Well, they were concerned with their biggest truck as far as making the radius.
Yes.
And that's all been done. They went through that, and that's all been verified as far as the radius.
Okay, see, what I saw was the letter from April 18th, and then I saw the staff concerns as dated the 21st. So, Tracy, is that... I'll have to leave it up to the staff to say if it was met or not.
And that is right on the site. He gave us the radiuses that we needed on the corner, and that was all showed right on the site plan. And that was, I think, sent to them, so that should have been all... Approved,
it,
to my knowledge, that was all addressed.
Okay.
Right?
I mean,
that was correct.
I guess the question would be the date on this memo. That's the date that the memo was produced. It's not.
We had a meeting with the developer, and at that time, the fire chief or the fire inspector had some concerns with the radio, so then they went back, and Brian looked at that based on the information provided by the fire chief at that meeting, and he checked the radiuses at that time, and the new plan showed the radius, and if Brian is saying it met them, it has met them, he was given all the information and told this is what it needs to meet, and the fire chief or the fire inspector has not looked back at that yet, but
Okay, we were troubled by the dates that the questions were raised, and wait, they're resolved, and wait, they weren't asked yet. So, okay, and is that probably true for some of the other issues? There's been additional follow-up?
Some of that stuff was brought up, but then it was addressed at this April 21st meeting, I think, as what the meeting will confuse with some of the games. But the stuff, when we had the staff meeting that Tracy was talking about with the fire department, Craig, and the building inspector, everybody was in on that, so... That should have all been addressed, and to my knowledge, it's already taken care of.
Yes, Harvard, if you can respond to that.
I did send the copy of the transcript to the fire marshal, and he did say that was okay to clearance.
Okay. And all his other concerns were also, is that the same? Do we need to go through those, or is that?
Those would be later on in the
Okay.
Yeah, some of that stuff that he's addressing, like where the Knox box location is and stuff like that, that just basically needs to take care of your construction.
Okay, so we'll say that it's for the fire marshal comments, but then we'll move on to the public works director. He recommends to see if a current catch basin configuration in the existing parking lot will work for a new parking lot design. Please see attached. And he also recommends to direct building runoff to the north side. The DPW suggested that an underground water storage buried detention be looked into if feasible, better aesthetics, and easier to maintain.
But then we have that
memo from Craig, Chris? Yes, and that's all we're going to look for, because there was a memo from Craig saying that this would basically
be drawn. Okay, that's in there. Okay. So the conceptual plan is acceptable. So there's, once again, there's additional details for final review, but the plan is workable. Okay.
Yes, that was the memo from, just the 28th.
And then Brad Lang from the Parks and Recreation Director requires an updated landscaping plan with a new sign design, current berm layout, existing trees marked, and the ATC acceptable plantings under the power lines that will also shade lights to the neighboring properties. And you had mentioned you were in process of starting that, working with ATC.
Well, the rest of this stuff, there is a new landscape plan. So that stuff, there was some trees underneath the wires that got changed, that got lowered and stuff. So that is the sign that he was addressing here. The sign design on the landscape plan has been redone. So you do have an updated version of that. The only thing with that is the ATC that we're working with, that we still waiting to hear from them, that they've been contacted since this has been brought up. It's gone through the first stage, and it's, to my knowledge now, it's the second stage of the ATC. I don't know how they have to go out there, what's going on with that right now, but they are in the process of working on that right now. That just got brought up just the other day, and they are working on it.
So that's one outstanding issue. Okay. And then, so I'm assuming that the planning comments also were addressed since that they were made by the staff. Recommending a concrete pad be laid 10 feet out from the dumpster to prevent wear from heavy equipment. We've seen that at other developments in Alloway. Recommend reviewing walkway lighting. Low post bollard lights would be allowed along the walkways. It requires a sidewalk in front of the building facing Hilltop Way to be handicap accessible to the street. No handicap parking on the street is required.
Yes, and that stuff has all been, that has all been changed on there. Some of the stuff were just recommendations also. It wasn't that it was necessary. And I don't know, with that, the one before that, the building inspector, where there was a couple units on there. And,
700 feet.
It had to be 700. That's been changed. There was a couple units that had 680 some or whatever. So that, and that, you have the new plan, that's all been corrected. And then the rest of this stuff is also, it's been, again, some of this stuff, like that 10-foot, they do have the concrete showing it coming out farther. Some of that, again, was just recommendations, but that stuff has been addressed.
Okay. And then there was just some additional village staff comments in here, and I know that I had some of the same observations, like the snow removal might be cumbersome. With the dumpster locations or where the tree plantings are, just so that's not a challenge. And that's, we need the ATC letter of the clearance of the overhead power lines. And Tracy, where a lot of these other, it sounds like the one item that's still out there is a garage detail must be included and brought to the Plan Commission meeting. The garage count is already one short of the required 48 spaces, and that's what you brought down?
Okay.
And Tracy, is that something the building inspector needs to review that just to make sure of that, or?
Yeah, probably the building inspector should take a look at that and see how it fits on the plan, since he's extended 48, how much further goes under the ATC high lines, and also there's some floodplain on the Somerset end of it as well that needs to be addressed.
That'll be part of once we get, I guess, this final decision from the ETC of what's going with that, if, you know, if there's something with the garages that have to get shifted or whatnot. I mean, we obviously still need to go through all the permit works and stuff like that for this stuff, so any of that stuff would want to be caught down also. But I think, Tracy, is that, once you think, I mean, as far as we're waiting for this ETC, once we know for sure that this is, that the ETC is okay with where we are, that will kind of finalize the garages. You do have a new layout, but you know, obviously with ATC still waiting to hear from them, that's subject to change.
What kind of problem does the floodplain area present again?
Well, it was just a question on where the floodplain came through. And to my knowledge, that was brought up a while back. Brian is from Mach 4, and the floodplain issue, I thought we're all taking care of as far as not whether or not an issue or whatever, but I don't know, there's a question if it's on one of the, where it comes through on one of the streets or something.
I just recall it was just a small section of the corner.
Right on.
Maybe the garages were on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And Brian, I don't know if you got a little better input on that. I thought that was checked out when Bob was at one of the other meetings at the floodplain. I thought that was all taken care of. But.
Yeah, the garage does not impact the current floodplain, and all the buildings are set far enough above floodplain elevation that it doesn't create any issue.
Thank you.
So any filling in the floodplain would require maybe a permit from the county in Charlottesville? Then.
I guess I have to over that with Dan. I guess to my knowledge, I don't think it is as long as it's all set up high enough above that, but I guess that's something I'd have to check with Dan Coffey.
Get the things there. Is it possible?
See, one of the concerns I'm hearing is that the lighting levels were a little low throughout the parking lot, like between the building to the garages. You're getting down to like a 0.1 in some areas, which seems a little low for safety. The IES and ADA lighting people usually are looking at least a 0.5 for safety. 5.5 foot candles, and I see it's been recommended that it be a 1 foot candle. Is it been revised lighting plan?
Yes, it is. And that was when the electricians went through and did that, they said, according to the codes that they were interpreting, that they thought that it was enough candle power. But we did add the, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, the bolus lights or whatever. They did add some of those for the sidewalks to help increase that lighting. So, yes, that has been redone since then.
So, you don't have a pretty low current pole in the shelter? The plan that we have just shows the lower level.
I thought the lighting was added on to that after that.
They are on there?
They are noted on there.
Well, then that.
But the lighting levels are still really low. There was a 0.1 in some areas.
Well, and when I checked the electricians on that, and they added something because there were some areas that I thought they said was a little too low, but when they added that, I thought they said that was all, according to the codes, it was all, they had the one plan showing all the little, you know, quick candles all over, and, you know, they were telling me that according to codes that that exceeds any requirements for that. So. And I guess that's something I don't know, you know, if we have to address with you again and see if they said they checked on that, and when we added those lights in there, they said we should be exceeding any of the minimum.
I know there was a spec sheet for a light on a pole, like the acorn style light, but it doesn't show it on the plan, so maybe they added those pole lights, but we didn't get a revised plan.
No, the pole lights, that was in part of that staff meeting where they said this, and I keep pronouncing wrong. Pole lights got added instead of pole lights.
Okay.
And that, I think, was addressed on one of those memos that we could do that rather than the pole lights. And certainly I can go over that with Dan, I mean, to see if there's any concerns with that, because when they added that, they said that originally they thought that they were meeting the minimum requirements, but then they added that, so they said they certainly should be exceeding any of the minimums for that. I think that we certainly will address it again.
Is there any other planning commission comments? I have a few other. Kendra?
The site plan, the updated site plan shows a sink in the sidewalk, which I'm guessing is the ADA compliant. But that's not reflected in the lighting plan or the landscape. So,
And what happened with that was originally, when we had the staff meeting, the interpretation that I understood right from the start was that it did not have to be a handicap. There's no parking out there. And when they redid the site plan, Brian, to get the grade, thought he had to add the extra length to it. And that does not, that is, the handicap parking is in the back. That's basically, and I'm not sure I'm using the right term, more of a convenient walk. That did not have, because there's not going to be any handicap parking on, to my knowledge, they're not going to have handicap, they're not going to have any parking on Hilltop. So it was more of a convenience walk. We did agree that it would be nice to cut the curb just so they didn't have a step up there. But that sidewalk steps just the other day, and Dan Poppy was involved with that, said that kindle stood out. So that jog does not have to be used anymore.
So that won't impact the lighting?
No.
I had a question about the number of handicapped spaces. In the cover letter from the developer, he states two, and in some of the drawings that I've seen, there are four. So it's 48 open spaces plus two for handicapped, but yet in some of the drawings I see 48 plus four. So
right.
It's the 48 plus.
So there are four.
There are four handicapped.
Okay. And with regard to the access in the front of the building, there is not going to be a curb cut?
Yes. We agreed that as long as there's a sidewalk there, there should be a curb cut, but it wasn't that it had to be because it's not a handicap accessible sidewalk.
Right.
It's just a, and again, I'm calling it a convenience sidewalk, just, you know, for getting to into that door, but it's not considered the handicap, but there will not be any handicap striping, or there won't be a place for that. So,
they
will cut the curb just for convenience sake.
You know, it also might be nice for public safety if there was a fire. I mean, they could go out that way and get out of the building. So
yeah,
it's more than just convenience.
Well, part of it, I think they're trying to keep the parking off of that street, so they're not trying to encourage it. At one time, there was more sidewalks going from the top into the building, and it's like, well, I'm encouraging people to park there and trying to get away from parking there. So that's why the rest of it was eliminated. I mean, at one time, there was talk about that you could either one, but it just seems like it's just for convenience sake, there's people walking down the street rather than go all the way around, then there should be one there.
I guess that's kind of a theme that we've seen in a lot of the drawings. I know there's different team members working on different portions. Some say Valley View, some say Hilltop, some say there's just a number of drawings.
Well, and we've tried to correct all that stuff because the name was changed to the Valley View. At one time, they're talking about Cornerstone and stuff, but you know, we've tried to correct all that stuff. But there shouldn't be Hilltop, I guess.
There's still, like, on the plan view sheet on the side, like on this, it says Hilltop. There's a number of places where it says Hilltop instead of Valley View.
Well, if that's the demo plan, maybe they're talking about the old site was Hilltop, so they could be referring to the we are obviously trying to correct the word. It's all the same, but some of the stuff comes in at the last minute, like that sidewalk. We got changed. We thought the correct way in, and 2 days later, that it got reviewed and it got straightened out again. So, but we're trying to get rid of that. But if it's the old demo site, and again, that's probably referring to the old name.
It was in a few documents that I came across. It makes it a little confusing sometimes when we're reviewing it.
No, but I understand and I agree with that. And we're certainly trying to correct all that stuff.
Is there other?
I have one more.
Sure, go ahead.
Question about the garage. The photograph that we see, or the rendering we see in the description, is that the front of the garage will be brick.
The pillars, correct? That description.
The front of the garage with the doors that face.
Yes, that will be brick.
Is brick. That's what the rendering shows.
Correct.
And then on each end and the back, it'll be like pillars or pilasters or whatever. That there is so many, and then with vinyl siding, vinyl plank.
Well, and I did include, this is the rendering from Hilltop from the front, but I did include in your packet a rendering of where the garage is, and that on the sides of the garage will be brick. On the ends will be brick, but then in the back, it requires every 24 feet of having a brick pillar to break it up, and then the rest of that will be vinyl, correct?
Right. That's what I thought.
That's correct. The ends are brick. That's what you said. The ends are going to be brick. The end of the garage, both end walls of the garage will be brick.
Okay.
showed just with like 6x6s with a sign, but it's been addressed in the staff meeting that it's not finally up, but my feeling is that we still have to probably put a plan there sometime around there. And if it was according to the requirements, that was okay to be voted, but they put in the one memo that decided to put the brick along the matching building and stuff, but it's okay to change it to the brick. But according to the requirements, it didn't have to be at this point. That way, the picture you have does not show the brick around.
I guess one other comment about consistency. I know, like on this rendering, it shows like for the bike rack, it shows just the stick type bicycle rack. But then I know in the details, you talked about either a U rack or some sort of a modified U rack. And we'd much rather have something like that than what's shown.
And that got brought up after again with some of the stuff when it got done, and from the staff meeting and stuff like that. Some of that, it was one of those things. Again, I think more of a recommendation, if I'm not mistaken, that it didn't have to be that, but that's why that got added.
Okay.
With the new kind of wrap, but some of that stuff was a recommendation, but without redoing all the renderings and everything, it's just kind of hard to do that, but we're trying hard to be consistent with it, but there's changes daily with some of that stuff, and we're trying to go along with the recommendations, even though it didn't have to be. We agreed that it would be nice to do it that way, so that's when it gets added to the packet.
I guess my one comment with that, depending on what the final rack is, just to make sure the concrete pad is big enough to support it so you don't have the bike sticking out in the sidewalk so people can't get by. So I don't know what the schematics are. It's just a general comment. Any other plan commission questions, comments?
A couple questions. Is every apartment unit provided with a garage?
Yeah.
Do you have a fire sprinkler system in the building?
Yeah. Firewalls. This obviously is an updated building compared to before, so there's firewalls separating every 16 units, I think, on the plan. It is where they have.
But is there a sprinkler system?
But there is a sprinkler system also, yeah.
The only comment I have about the lighting, you have these outdoor bike parking areas. One of them has a bollard fairly close to the bike parking area, which would be, I think, adequate for someone who parks a bike at night to be able to see to do their locks. You might want to consider moving the bollards on the other half of the building so that one of the bollards is closer to the bike parking area also.
Okay.
Anything else, Roger? I guess the one other question, Dan, I asked before, with the garages so tight and then the buildings, what is the plan to plow snow in the winter? Where is that going to be pushed to, or how is it going to be addressed?
Yeah, I guess that's a tough question. I guess it's one of those things that I'm not sure I have 100% answer. I mean, obviously, it's a private problem, I guess, basically what we're going to do is it. Hopefully we don't have to haul it out each time, but it's one of those things that, depending on what kind of winter you get to, that I guess we're certainly not against moving stuff around if it helps or whatever, but it's going to depend from winter to winter. If the snow's in the way, it'll have to get hauled out, I guess.
You just have a lot of constraints.
For sure. I mean, there's no doubt with adding the garage and there and stuff. It was all part of even that parking lot, that got redone just a year ago. And as much as it's just a shame to have to pull that out, it just didn't work with the garages and to try to get the proper drainage and to get the catch bases in. And we tried real hard to save that, and it just didn't work out. But when things begin with the snow, we're going to have to push it where there's room, and if there's not, we'll have to haul it out, and there's not going to be any, not too many options with that.
Any other planning commission questions, comments? Barb?
I have a question on the sign. Do you know the height on it? Will it be lower to the ground? There's a little picture of it on the landscape thing.
Well, I thought that was a new sign configuration they brought up. I thought they had the measurements on there of where the height of the other be.
Yeah, the timing.
Okay, I have that.
Okay.
Okay. And again, the only issue in the staffing that was brought up, that if we decide to do something with just the master building and stuff like that, they said that's fine, we can do that without going through all the steps, but it didn't have to be.
Would you consider lowering the sign? I'm just thinking of the floodlight shining on it, that the higher it shines, the more chance of fugitive lighting leaving the site.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the height of it's not, depending on the plantings underneath it and stuff like that. I mean, I know the light has to be, there's certain restrictions with the light that can't be shining the neighbors and all that kind of stuff. So that's got to be a certain type of light shining on it. But, the height, as long as it's not too low for plantings and stuff like that, I mean, sure, we're going to want it to look good too. I don't know the dimensions they have in there now. That's probably the maximum that they have on there, I think.
Any other planning commission questions or comments? Any staff questions or comments based on what you've heard? Hearing none, we will open this up to the public. Now, we have to remember, we are focused, and our charge tonight is to look at the site plan review process. So there's some things that are probably well outside the planning commission's purview on what we can handle and what we can't, and we'll try and say if it's something we can deal with tonight or something we can't deal with tonight. And then afterwards, we will close the meeting to public comment, and then the planning commission may have additional questions for Dan. Dan, please take a step. Seat down, please, for now. And from the public? Would anyone from the public like to speak? Yes, sir. Please come up and state your name and address, please, for the record.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Mike Moore, M-O-O-R-E, from the 580 Hilltop Drive, adjacent to the Hilltop Apartments, 3415. I have a couple of concerns that I think you should address. I'm a little disturbed that nobody from the private sector that had a non-vested interest wasn't involved in the planning with the staff and or Hillcrest Lumber. It seemed like a lot of decisions were made that the neighborhood association should have been allowed to be part of. Sounds like a little backroom dealing, in my opinion. After reviewing the plan that was presented tonight, I was assured that there would not be a double entrance exit. But now there's going to be, which is going to unload more traffic onto Hilltop. Which currently has approximately 30 children with no sidewalks. They want to go to a park, they have to cross East River. They want to go to another park, they have to cross Libel. So, of course, they're going to start playing in the streets. And I've noticed this on several occasions that people are zooming up and down our streets, exceeding the 25 miles an hour, delivering pizzas or whatever. It's complete callousness not to address this issue. As far as blaming the fire department on their moratorium, that we need that access, that's crap. It's basically the same area that was presented 35 years ago when the apartment was built. Now you're saying that times have changed. We have sprinklers in the unit now, firewalls, We still need a radius for our trucks to turn around when they get back into their firehouse. It just doesn't sound right. Now I'm going to have a backyard where people are going to be driving right through it. And they're going to be zooming up and down Hilltop or Somerset. I don't understand how that's mutually beneficial for our community, which is the first tenet of our zoning manual. Would you like me to read it?
You have the floor. If you'd like to read it, read it.
Sure. Maybe the media would like to hear it too. The conditional use will not substantially reduce the use and enjoyment of other people's property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted. It shall not substantially diminish or impair the property values within the neighborhood. What you're doing, folks, is exactly that. You're diminishing the property values and the safety of the neighborhood by allowing this turn to be implemented. Now, I don't know where these decisions are being made, but I wasn't privy to being at these particular meetings. Maybe I'll read about it tomorrow in the Press Gazette. I don't know. But there's several folks here sitting behind me that are adamant that this isn't a fair shake. They've lived on Hilltop for most of their adult lives. They've seen a younger generation start moving in, replacing the older generation. And of course, they're starting to raise their families. Revitalizing the homes with fresh paint, investment, supporting our schools the way they should be with sound family values. They're not transient. I think we've had the problems before the Hilltop apartment fire. Now, am I going beyond the limits of your sphere of influence?
Some of the issues, yes. Like speeding on the streets, yes. But so there's some things we're dealing with the site plan review process only. We can't make a recommendation on some of the other issues that you've raised today.
Who can?
You could take it to the village board or different committees as they refer it to. If it's speeding or if it's other, how to get to a park safely or some of those type of things that you've raised.
Well, let's go back to the basics of why do we need two egresses and regresses for one parcel?
Well, this is your comment period, well, so we're not going to necessarily answer every question.
There's a building code requirement that the for the construction type that it have paved access for fire equipment on at least three sides of the building.
So was that noted in the zoning book?
No, it's in the building code, state building code.
So that supersedes our local zoning laws?
It does.
Mm-hmm. Why isn't this book up to date then?
It doesn't have to be. The zoning code is different than a building code. So.
Well, I think I'm going to have to seek some legal advice on that one, sir. That bothers me a lot. That we can't have an up-to-date zoning book that we can relate to.
Well,
that's all I have to say tonight.
You do bring up an issue on zoning that is a concern of mine for the property, but the problem is it's codified in law, and the village board would have to change it. And then there are ramifications to the zoning being changed for a current property owner.
Well, how about the diminished property value that I'm going to endure?
Well,
do I get compensated for that?
That's just a product of the way our village has been zoned for how many years in this area?
zoned when it was built. That was the zoning that was there, so.
Well, no.
When it was built.
There wasn't two egresses zoned in when the building was built. Now you're adding another one. So it's not grandfathered in. You're changing the plan, the whole playing field.
Yes, it has to meet current code, just like the building has to be
sprinkled.
Fire code and meet the code that way as well.
Why not just donate part of my yard and make it a nice round sculptured look instead of being so blunt with it?
I think, aren't they putting in a landscape berm between their property and yours?
Yes.
In the plan?
So we'll see how that turns out then. 6 feet tall? Trees on the top?
It should. It's a reasonable separation.
Thank you for your comments. Yes, sir, please come up.
Good evening. I'm James McGurney out of 547 Hilltop Drive. Been living here for about 35 years. I also have a major safety concern about this access road, which now I understand is part of the current building code.
Well, the code requires a paved surface on a certain quantity of the size of the building.
Okay. So
the fire marshal is given authority to determine what that shall be, okay, to provide for his equipment access.
Okay. I think I saw on the plan that it's a two-lane. Is that correct? So if you're required to have access, can you make it a one-lane? Or maybe a sign that says emergency vehicle only to comply with the code, so that a fire truck can get through or an ambulance can get through, and that would reduce the traffic for safety purposes of Hilltop Drive, and also may help to reduce some of the parking on Hilltop Way. Can you do something like that?
That's certainly possible.
I don't know if you have to have a gate that the fire truck can bust in, but something to reduce the traffic on this. Because there will be a lot of traffic if it's a two-lane access road. Anyway, thanks for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name is John Schimmen. I live at 543 Hilltop Drive. We built there 42 years ago. And I remember neighbors getting together to discuss what we had learned shortly after we built that was zoned for the apartment buildings. At that time, Mr. Mako, who was the head of Hillcrest, if I remember correctly, said that he would make sure that apartment building was built so the traffic would go out onto Somerset Way and onto East River Drive. Now I look at the plan, and there is a driveway that looks like it's almost part of Hilltop Drive. The traffic from the old apartments, now I granted that was 72 units. This is only going to be 48, so theoretically that should be less. But the traffic it was not good. If you could look into Jim McNerney's recommendation of making that one way, and certainly one lane, otherwise people are going to be shooting right down Hilltop Drive, right into that access, whatever you call it, the fire marshal needs, and it's going to be worse than it was. Some kind of a one-way thing so that people just can't be buzzing in and out of there, because traffic is the main reason I came down to talk and say you got to do something to make it better somehow in that plan. And the plan right now looks like it's going to be a lot worse than it was because of that, from what you're saying, mandated driveway that cuts right through Mike's area there. The other thing I wanted to add is, what do you people have anything to do with, like, a speed bump on Hilltop Drive?
That would actually have to probably go to the Public Works Committee, and then it would go to the Village Board. So, no, not this committee.
Okay, that's what I had to say. I don't like the looks of that fire department access. From what you're saying, nothing can be done. But please try to plan so that that isn't just readily accessed to people nipping in and out of that back parking lot.
Thank you. Anyone else that would like to speak? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Carol Flynn, 25,000. I'd also like to discuss the second entrance. Harry Mako told us, each individually at John's meeting, that one thing that he would give us was that there would not be a second entrance. Now you're telling me that emergency vehicle-wise, we have to. However, now they want to cut into the curb. Emergency vehicles, if needed, if the pavement is there, single lane, emergency vehicles can certainly run over the curb. So you really don't even have to cut out. As Mike stated, I'm also very disappointed that nobody was allowed to be in on the beginning of this development and this site. As a taxpayer, I think that Galloway needs to give us something for the inconveniences that we are being put upon. They did it the first time, and now this time, you have an opportunity to rectify that, and yet you seem to be making it worse. I've lived there for 44 years, 1970. We were some of the first people on the street. And it just infuriates me. But they're letting particular individuals do through the board. And I think you ought to consider who voted the board in and the money that they are contributing to salaries and taxes and so forth for this village. And I hope that you will take into consideration the children we have on the street. Mike said 30. I personally, next door to me, have 7 children. And I definitely will be talking to him when I get home. And he will be addressing this. I'm certain he will be very much in favor of addressing this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. I was going to read the email that you had, but seeing you came and spoke, I won't read the email unless you want me to read the email for. Okay, I will read it. Okay. We did receive an email to the village administrator dated Monday, April 28th. As a resident of Hilltop Drive, I believe we should have some input in the future construction along Hilltop Way. Furthermore, as taxpayers, our concerns for the valuation of our home should be as important to you, our representatives, as it is to us. There's no disputing the lower property values associated with homes in our close proximity to apartment buildings. It is necessary for the board to always cater to Mako's desires. It seems to have happened frequently in the past. If Mako chose, he could easily build 5 or 6 lovely single home, family homes, or even condominiums, which would better suit our neighborhood. She had it written right. I said it wrong. Okay. It has been said, these will be new with higher rents. Yes, however, the initial buildings was once new also. And you know values on apartments deteriorate fast. If apartments are built, there is the traffic to address. We have many small children that play freely along the curbs. To eliminate the hazard of numerous cars from Hilltop Place building, I believe it is only right the village seriously consider converting Hilltop Way and Somerset Drive into a U-shaped street with hard curb and gutter separating Hilltop Way from the entrance to apartments. As taxpayers, we need something out of this deal to protect our homes and property values. We have been through this once and should not have to go again. Carol and Michael Brewer. Is there any other people that would like to speak tonight on this issue?
Chris, I'm not quite done.
Mr. Moore, you can have, but please keep it somewhat brief, please, so we can keep going.
Absolutely. Okay. What are we going to do with people that visit during the winter months especially? Where are they going to be parking? Has that been addressed? Is there any curiosity? Is everybody going to flow into their garages and disappear with their cars and leave all those vacant stalls? People can just come and go as they want. I lived there for 30 years now, and people take the shortest cut to get into that building, especially if they're on the lower level. They'll use those patio doors and park on Hilltop Way versus going around, parking in back like they should, which is designated, especially in the summer months. Well, I think out of fairness to the neighborhood, we should have a no parking zone on Hilltop Way. It's not going to cost the village anything except a couple $100 in signs, and I can donate that as long as it's enforced.
And that's another committee. That would either be, I would write either to the administrator. There's only certain things that are in our purview, and site plan review is what
is
this committee is.
Is there a chart that someone can look at and determine which way the wind blows on this stuff?
You're asking parking out on the street. This committee doesn't handle the parking on the street. We're looking at the site plan review for this parcel.
Wasn't visitor parking part of the site plan review?
That could be part of a discussion. But we wouldn't necessarily deal with, we don't have any power over saying no parking on the street or not.
I hope you can appreciate how frustrating this is.
Yes, sir.
I just thought of one more thing. I just heard you say that parking is not in your purview.
On the street.
Same exact thing that Mike was. One thing that was on the site, and I think I heard Dan mention it, is there's one front door with one walk coming down to Hilltop Way. And if that was eliminated, that would cut down a lot on the dozen or more, oftentimes, people that park along Hilltop Way. I wouldn't care where they park, except when they park there, they're more than likely going down Hilltop Drive or Somerset, one or the other. So if that front door wasn't there, the mailman could go around to the back to drop off mail. It would cut down on people parking on Hilltop Way. And I think I heard Dan say that was kind of a convenience so that people didn't have to walk around the building. Well, they can walk around the building, and they can be parking back there anyway, is what I would like to think. So I would like to think that is in your purview about that front entryway and that front walk. If that's eliminated, it might help the parking and traffic. So that's all I wanted to add.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Dan.
Just to touch on some of that with the front door, that I'm not sure that can be eliminated. I guess that's still our address with the front of the building, and I'm not, it's more of a convenience walk, I think. I guess whether that can be taken out or not, I'm not sure. But I do know that there was talk about eliminating the parking on Hilltop Way, and that's not part of this now. But I know when we talked about whether there was going to be handicapped parking, was talked about, no, they didn't want parking on Hilltop Way, so there's a good possibility that was going to be eliminated anyhow, because that's why the handicapped parking was brought up, that it was coming in from the back, that it didn't have to be on Hilltop. So eventually, and I don't, I'm not sure anybody can, you know, understand that now. I think it's, it is talked about eliminating the parking on Hilltop Way, so hopefully that would help. As far as the speeding and stuff, I guess, obviously, we can't control that. There's only so, there's so many vehicles, and it's going to be a lot less than what there was last time, but some of that's out of our hands, maybe.
Now, one thing I did say, there's a lot of issues that were raised tonight that are out of our hands. That doesn't mean we can't document it for the record. Our plan commission, our goal is basically we're doing all the data gathering for the village board. So we can raise those issues. I'm not going to say if we agree that we can solve them, but we can at least push them forward, and then the village board can decide if there's certain issues that they want to refer to committees or deal with as appropriate. So hopefully, and I've taken a few notes on a few issues. So it's not, we are listening, but there's some things, it's not the appropriate place. It's the right place to bring it up. It's not necessarily, it's as easy as you show up here and it's done. We're going to take care of every single issue. The government doesn't exactly work that way all the time. So is there any plan commission questions for Dan based on what we heard?
Oh, just a comment referring to the site plan. It appears that the parking requirement in the zoning code has been met and slightly exceeded.
Correct. So we will close the public comment portion now. Plan Commission, we've heard a lot of comments. We've heard from the neighborhood. Is there any reaction, any discussion questions that we have as we start to move towards a motion?
I didn't hear it asked before, but in the public comments brought the question, how will deliveries to the building be made, whether it be pizza or parcel service deliveries or people moving in, moving out, where will all of that occur in the site?
That should all come in through the east side where the parking is. I mean, if it's enforced as far as no parking on that Hilltop Way, they certainly shouldn't be there. And that's again why some of the, there was a, initially, there was like five sidewalks coming off the Hilltop Way, and both of them got eliminated to try to cut that down. So, you know, it should be from the back, whether it's pizza or moving in, it should be coming in from the parking lot.
So the U.S. Postal Service will also access from the east side?
I guess that, I'm not 100% sure on that. Some of that stuff is kind of up to them. We need to figure out for them where the post office would. I would think that would come in off of the same, off of the back also.
Do you have one location for the mailboxes or multiple?
Again, normally that, we need to check with them and see how they deliver that. I would think it's going to be in a cluster box in the back, coming in from that direction. I'm not sure how much safety we have on that. I know from the other building we're doing, I had to call them and ask them where they would deliver and how they want it done. So, you know, I'm just on the street that we're doing, I'm assuming this would be the same way, that we have to check with them to see what they'll accept and what they won't accept, whether it's a cluster box or if it's a mean inside the doorway box or something. I guess I'm not 100% sure of that.
Tracy, is it true that the parking will be prohibited on Hilltop?
It is not true at this point. It may go that way, but as Chris had mentioned, it does need to go through committees and see if they would allow that, and then it would eventually go to the board for approval. So it has not been set in stone at this point.
That was a discussion in the staff meeting. I'm sure that's how all stages are going to be. So.
I have a question.
Sure, go ahead.
In looking at the floor plan, there are six main hallway entrances out the front and the back, but there's just the one sidewalk out the front. Will the other entrances have stoops but not have any sidewalk leading to them?
We'll have to have a stoop on the door for
that. But then there won't be a sidewalk, so you would, correct, if there was a fire, you would just get out onto the stoop and then that would,
correct, be. Well, and then you could get out through the grass or the street or whatever.
Okay.
Hey, Dan, question for you.
Yeah.
Is there anything you can do with that curved ingress egress off of Hilltop?
As far as
changing the curve? I can see where there might be an issue with cars flying down Hilltop and just cruising right in there. Is there anything you can do with the radius maybe of that?
Well, you know, a lot of this we're trying to follow the fire,
yeah.
You know, the fire trucks keep getting bigger and they have turns that they have to make, so you're trying to follow all of that stuff. What can be done with it? I guess, whether it could be one way or something like that. We can't regulate the speeding,
yeah.
Obviously.
And in one way it doesn't matter.
Whether it could be one way maybe, so there's not as many. You've got, so whatever, if everybody's got one car, you got 48 cars leaving, are they all going to go to the east and not to the west anyhow? You know, that same amount of traffic could be going that way if that's the direction they want to go. That's not to say that, I guess, if it's recommended that it's a one-way, I certainly don't think the developer would have a problem with that. If that's going to help the traffic flow or slowing traffic down or whatever, it's basically there for the fire department.
One way in terms of a sign?
One way as far as, coming in. If it's,
yeah,
if it's
I don't see how that would work, because either way, people are going to be coming in and out. It doesn't matter if there's a sign.
If it's on the street, that's what you mentioned, another whole committee. Do we put one on the driveway to slow them down as they get to it or something? I don't know. I mean, some of that stuff we'll try to work with the neighborhood as much as we can. But, you get a pizza guy speeding down the street, is he driving 60 miles an hour until he gets to that spot anyhow? No matter what, some of that stuff we can. And I know, I understand what they're saying. I'm not sure how to take care of some of that stuff. Well, certainly we're the best we can with the driveway. If there's some recommendations on what to do with that, I'm sure the developer would go on with whatever we can come up with.
And speed bumps are a little difficult in the winter, and you're plowing snow, and so
it's possible.
I don't think it can just be eliminated because I don't think we can meet all the requirements for the fire trucks to get going.
Barb?
It was suggested that they put a chain across or a gate across and have the fire department be able to go through that if they needed to. And in Bellevue, on Bellevue Street, the Crystal Lake Apartments did something similar to that, but that's a little bit more of a rural setting. There are ditches, the chain with the sign on it's a little farther up. So if something like that was placed at the street, I think it would look a little out of place in the neighborhood.
Are you talking that condo development, River Pines?
Okay. Well, up there's Bayola Gate, and then farther to the south, I believe the Crystal Lake one, at one time at least, did have a chain across the access, and it was only specifically for the fire department. And it was set far enough back, and the traffic is a little faster on that road, and there's ditches, so it has more of a rural setting. So the chain doesn't really catch your eye, but I think if they tried to do something like that here, I think that would really stick out. Just a thought.
It's possible to use what's called a mountable curb in that location to prevent it being a normal traffic access if they decide to, or if the staff decides to go a different way with the parking and the fire marshal agrees. So.
I think we've heard on that concern, and when we get to that point, I'd be open to a motion, maybe not that we go to a specific thing, but maybe we say look at options to cut down the vehicle traffic using that and the impact on the neighborhood. And depending on what the developer and the village staff work, maybe it's a mountable curb, maybe it's one way, I think the fire marshal needs to be involved in the discussion also. And maybe that can be a recommendation that we would give. And I guess just some of the other areas that I've heard, we talked earlier on about the garage being subject to change depending on the ATC response. We talked about the bollard lighting levels and maybe needing to have a discussion with the building inspector to see if those are appropriate. And then we have this whole thing about the fire access road and what should be done with that. Is there any other major issues that, for the record, we should be passing along to the village board that anyone else heard?
Well, I just think, at least my observation is that we have a problem with our zoning here. And what we've done is we've got a high-density zoning district right up against a low-density zoning district, where there really ought to be a buffer between them, more of a medium zoning district. So, but it's been that way since the platting of the village, essentially.
I think it was an awfully long time.
So, I mean, if you fault anyone on the current owners, even the ones who have been there for a long time, you kind of have to fault their real estate agents by having them not look at the zoning at the time when they were purchasing. But so it's just been that way for an awfully long time. There's not much we can do about it.
I just have a question before you get into this boring whatever. When you're talking about a couple of these issues with the driveway and stuff, is that going to affect as far as the rest of the site? I mean, as far as the building and the rest of the, I know it can either get approved or approved with conditions or denied, but like this driveway issue that we're talking about, is that going to have anything to do with the rest of the site approval?
Well, we make a recommendation. I mean, I'm not sure what direction the Plan Commission will go, but I think we probably would push some sort of a recommendation that would say, here's our concerns, or here's what we think the village board should be aware of. But I could be wrong, depending on what the Plan Commission makes a motion for me to...
Well, I guess the only reason I bring it up as far as, if there's something with the driveway that's got to get done or whatnot, that we can continue with the building and getting the rest of the plans drawn and everything else. I mean, if there's no issues with the rest of that, is this something that possibly could be approved with? I mean, obviously, we've got three different directions to go. Does it get approved with conditions as far as getting it settled with the driveway? I don't know if there's any questions with the rest of the building or anything. We haven't talked a whole lot about that, so
no.
Hopefully that part looks okay.
We'll get there pretty quick. We'll find out what we make a motion on. And like I said, it's a recommendation that we'll make. So is there any other Planning Commission comments? Is there any other issues, major issues, besides Dan's right? Most of the stuff we've talked about is non-building. I mean...
And at least we could continue with that part of it,
hopefully.
Okay.
Barb?
Okay. Well, I mean, things that do concern us, we can look at the overall density. Condition before was almost twice as dense as what we're going to end up with at this point. So that's certainly going to have an effect on the conditions that cause the irritation to the single-family residents over the years. And you didn't ask about rent levels or...
I think that's in the information we have.
It is.
It is.
So.
And I think the rent levels are higher than what they are, or what they were.
Right. I know that.
Additional conditions of some items that were completely resolved would be to meet all the fire department requirements regarding the fire department connection, the 5-inch storage fittings, and the Knox box locations. The stormwater management plan shall be, or stormwater management design shall be finalized and approved prior to the issuance of any building permits. Obtain any Brown County permits for filling in the floodplain area if necessary. And I would just recommend on the vinyl siding on the garages that you use a heavier gauge because it is a commercial type project, so it's a 0.044 inch thickness.
Yeah, it would be for sure the virgin vinyl siding.
Okay. And then to explore the options for the second driveway and with the fire department's approval of whether they could go with a one-way or speed bumps or whatever would help restrict access. And then this is in addition to the one that you had, the obtain ATC approval for the landscaping, dumpster, and the building in the easement area.
The garage and the bollard lighting.
Right. I required a minimum 0.5 foot candle in all area intended for pedestrian traffic, and that would be the IEMFA standard. I know that it says the 1 foot candle in the staff recommendations, but the minimum for the IEMFA is 0.5. And that gives a safe lighting level for people, at least from the building to get to your garage.
Barb, one question. Is that a motion? Because it's sort of close to a motion.
I don't know if anybody else has anything else to add.
Well, we can always catch that during discussion.
Okay.
So if
that would be my motion, to approve it with those conditions.
Do you have that, Jerry? Mostly. Is there a second? Trustee Dart, is there any further discussion? I don't want to rush. If somebody has a question.
One question or addition to the conversation that we're asking to be held on over the fire department access, the second access. I think one option in the group of ones to look at would be to close it, to have for access emergency vehicles only, regardless of how the chain might look. I mean, chains can look a lot of different ways. But I think the only way to really solve that problem of traffic on that street is to not have traffic coming in and out. And so I would want that to be one of the options that's considered.
Barb and Howard, would it be appropriate to maybe for that one item list it out and say some of the options to consider could be modifying the driveway type, reducing from a two-lane to a one-lane, chaining it off together for emergency use only, or maybe they come up with some other option that might be out there.
Would the trash removal people need to use that access?
Good
I don't
question.
Know how large their truck is. That they, would they have to back out of their way?
Well, the way it's designed right now, no, but you know, I guess it's would be an easy thing that if we were to move that trash to the side to open that up more, then that would be an entrance for them to get in to remove that, and so that could be an issue. But I mean, I guess if the chain was put down farther or some way that, you know, they could pull up and back up into that, and then once they dumped it, they could drive that out the same way. I mean, I would think we could work around it some way, but it's definitely a concern, I guess.
Should we also add that be aware, depending what happens with the fire access road, it could have impact on garbage deliveries or whatever else that happened at the...
And, you know, we get the fire department involved to see what, first of all, what options there are that are going to go along.
That can be included.
Pardon?
Is that clear, Sherry? So Howard, good addition. Yeah,
is
somebody...
Well, is there any chance that the berm on the south side would be value engineered out of the project after the village board might approve it?
I'm not say that again. I'm not sure.
Well,
it's got to be a certain height, I know, and a certain number of trees,
okay,
and all
so
that kind of stuff.
Is the berm is it being required by the staff or by so?
Yeah.
So there's no chance it's going to go away.
No. The berm is going to be there for sure.
All right. I just wanted to make sure. Because if there was a chance it might be eliminated, I would have added that as a condition.
No, the berm definitely would be there. That's all part of our safety.
So we have a motion that was made and seconded. Is there any further discussion from the Planning Commission?
I had one more.
Sure. Go ahead, Howard.
Comment on the discussion about whether or not there would be no parking in front of the complex on Hilltop. Is that in our motion as a condition for further discussion? Or
I would say
are we recommending that it be no parking, or are we?
We could just, I guess one way to handle it, there's probably a couple different ways to handle it. We could include it, maybe not in the motion, that it's something that's our responsibility, but to make the village board aware of it,
yeah.
Or we could just put it in the notes as a separate topic to say it was brought up at this meeting. There's a public concern about parking in front of on Hilltop, and the Planning Commission thinks that the appropriate committee should discuss this.
That's all I wanted to do, was make sure that it was in the discussion.
So I'd say it doesn't have to be in our motion, but
right,
it could
yeah.
be in our record.
Yep,
if that makes sense to you.
I wasn't sure
okay.
I
no.
followed where that discussion actually got filed.
We're not doing our job if we don't. We need to try and basically give the village board the heads up as much as we can on these issues, and they are the elected officials. They can vote how they would like or direct in the appropriate committees. So is there anything else from the Planning Commission that should be added to the motion or any other further discussion before we make a recommendation? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. The motion carries. Thank you, Dan. And so that goes on the May 6th. It will go to the village board. And with that, we will move on to agenda topic 7, intensive survey presentation by Barb Copenrud, chair of the Historic Preservation Committee. Two hats tonight.
Stand up front.
What would be easier? I think it might be easier for the microphone purpose if you come over here, please. Heather, can you see?
Yeah.
Well, we can't read it.
Yeah.
We can see it.
I can tell there's a map there.
Yeah.
I'm the chair of the Historic Preservation Committee, and we were awarded a grant from the state, which came from the National Park Service, to get an intensive survey done in the village. And what that means is that we hired a consultant that went around and looked at all of the buildings and determined which ones were over 50 years old and which ones would be eligible for listing on the National Registry. We hired a legacy architect, Ocean Wiggins. They started the research. The Historic Preservation Committee, along with the Historic Alloy Society members, helped gather some of the information. And we met various times throughout the process. This was presented to the Historic Preservation Committee in July of 2013, and it was approved by the board in September 2013. And we do have the intensive survey. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This is located on the village website. It goes through the different areas of the village, and there are maps at the back.
Sure.
That show the different properties that were surveyed. If you go onto the state website and put these numbers, I think you go into the Village of Alloway, the mapping, and then it corresponds to these numbers, and then you could find out some additional information on some of the buildings that were surveyed. Of all the buildings that they surveyed, they found that there were 13 that were individually eligible for listing on the National Registry. Of those, there's the bridge that's over the middle of the river. The Village Community Center, the Village Water Building, and Bishop Fox Mausoleum, and 9 houses that were eligible for listing. They also found that there were 3 potential historic districts. One of them is up in the northern part of the village, like the Alloy Terrace area. There's a part of the Miramar Drive, and then Sunset Circle. The Historic Preservation Committee recently was awarded a grant from the state to pursue having the 2 village buildings, which would be it's the Water Department building, as well as the Community Center, researched and applied for listing on the National Registry. After that, we will probably look at applying for grants for a historic district. We'll have to speak with the neighbors and make sure that there's some buy-in before we would pursue that. Do you have any questions?
I do. I know about a year or two ago, we had invited the Historic Preservation Committee chair at the time to come to this group because your group was in its infancy and you're moving along, you're making a lot of progress, which is exciting. Do you see any opportunities, especially with the TIF district, that maybe there could be some historic district, signage, different maybe development standards that maybe the Planning Commission should be involved with in the long-term future, or you're still not ready to go quite that far yet?
Not quite ready right now. I don't know the boundary of the TIF district. I believe it's up in this area. Does it include the Alloway Terrace area?
You know, it might.
I don't think so.
No. You don't think it goes that far north?
No.
You don't think it goes all the way to? I thought it went north. Yeah, I thought it went. Yeah.
Would it include that entire area?
I thought it was all in Earth.
Yeah, it does go all the way up there because it goes past West Avenue Market. It's right there. Yeah,
it doesn't include that whole area.
It does not. Okay. But parts of it, it does.
Yes.
Well, maybe if there's sign, well, like one example would be like in De Pere, they have their historic districts and they have their signage, their brown signage, or maybe, and we just don't really, we have historic buildings, but it's like a hodgepodge of things. It's not like it's one unified district. And we talked about having a gateway into Alloway. Well, that would be kind of cool if we could piggyback after some of the history in Green Bay to the north.
Mm-hmm.
Just an idea, and Heritage Hill, and then, well, I guess the prison's historic. I guess that's got its own history,
it is,
too.
It is. There are buildings within the walls of the prison that are on the National Registry, and of course there are buildings of Heritage Hill that are on the National Registry. There is one house on Taft Street. I think it's the second or third house in on the north side of the street, and it was designed by somebody that studied under Frank Lloyd Wright, so that that one's on the National Registry. So we do have some on there right now.
So the second house off Webster? A little house set back a little bit? Yeah.
It's the one that's hard to see.
Oh, yes.
It's the little one that you can't see unless you really know that there's one to look for.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
If you drive by it quite a few times before you actually figure it out. Yeah, that one's on the National Registry. The homeowners pursue that on their own.
I guess one question, besides you being on the Planning Commission, which is fabulous, maybe we get to, or see some development or something that may impact one of these historic properties. How, I mean, is that something the staff looks at when they're reviewing things, or how so we don't ever make a decision that we'll regret later on if somebody wants to do something to one of these?
Well, they are eligible at this time. Once they would be on the National Register, then they have a whole other set of rules that if they want to make any changes or if they want to tear it down, it's a little bit of a process for them. The building inspector would have to be aware of any buildings that are on the National Register. At this time, just because they're eligible doesn't mean that they're protected.
Okay.
Do you have this display on the hallway?
Yes.
And at some point, we're going to notify the homeowners to let them know that they're individually eligible. This is baby steps for us, so we still don't really know what information is out there for them. We know that there could be some tax credit information. They don't necessarily have to be in the National Register. Is that correct? They just needed to be eligible. But we are still learning this, too. So before we start sending out any mass mailings, we want to make sure that we have a really good understanding so we can give them the correct information. So we would hope that if somebody came in and they wanted to put an addition on the front of one of these buildings that would change their eligibility to be on the National Register, we would hope that maybe they would see this map. I don't know if the building inspector is looking at it. There are only 9 houses.
Okay.
The 2 village buildings we're working on right now. The mausoleum, I don't know that they are planning anything. I did speak with the person in charge of the property for the diocese, so they're aware that they're eligible. Otherwise, a lot of the houses are intact. The Vince Lombardi house is one, of course. That one's individually eligible as well as being part of the district. There's the Don Hudson house. It's the other Packer Bernard Darling house. Green. These houses, to look at them, you wouldn't think that somebody's going to start putting an addition on the front or put vinyl siding on it. So they bought the house knowing that it's historic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're hoping that nobody's going to make any changes that will affect that.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing with us. Is there any other questions or comments, Roger?
Well, what's the value of the intensive survey and having what appears to be a historic preservation plan for the village? What's the overall value there?
Well, there's value because now we are on the state website. Our intensive survey is on there. There are people that do go around and for vacations, look at different types of buildings. We hope to get the other buildings on the National Register at some point. We're pursuing the 2 village buildings because it's a little easier. We have some information. They're owned by us. We're still learning, but after speaking with the De Pere Historic Preservation Commission, they were telling us that if you get a little more bang for your buck, if you go for a district. So after we get these 2 under our belt, we're going to try for a district and see how that goes. And we would hope it would serve a sense of community for people in that neighborhood, and people would want to fix up their homes or their properties just to, because they're part of the historic district.
These are tour bus, I believe, on all the...
And I know that.
Yeah.
People on this
I didn't know about that, but I heard about I heard about that.
But the Historic Society is also looking at maybe some walking tours. There's some different sites in the village that the buildings are gone. We had the Mission Cato on West Mission. It's gone, but there's a marker. We had the first courthouse. You know, it's gone, but there's a marker down at Heritage Hill. The Historic Society is very proud of the history of Alloway and that we have a lot of firsts in our area. And they do feel that we are the first settlement west of the Great Lakes. I think that's what they're looking into getting put on signage. That the Historic Society would like to do some type of a walking tour. They just want to kind of put that together, but there are some different properties in the village that we're proud of and would like people to see.
I'm saying they have a tour bus now, don't they, at the Packer?
Well, yeah, they do. They hold on this area. I know the neighbors aren't very happy.
Yes. Oh. Sunset Park area? Yeah.
That the neighbors, because we do have to get the buy-in of the people that live in the area. They're told or warned that the people in this area may not want to be in the historic district, and that's fine. We aren't forcing that on anybody. But they may have some tax credit available for them if they are.
I was just going to say that might be neat if get some information over to the Packers. People come into town for a weekend. Hey, let's go see some of the old historic homes in the neighborhood from the past.
Everybody does provide them in Silverdale, okay. So I know the neighbors aren't always the happiest with the buses. Maybe the Curly Mamble House on the or two, but I don't know if that's part of their tour. It wasn't noted as being individually eligible. Just because a home is old doesn't make it automatically eligible. It has to be unique enough, or it has to be the best tutor or the best Mediterranean design. So that's why there are so few that are eligible.
I think those, I'm on the Historic Preservation Committee also, so I can put in a plug for what we're doing. I think it does, over time, it does build kind of a sense of neighborhood pride if you know that there's a home on your block or if your block is part of something that I've lived in. As I said at our meeting, I don't know if our house wasn't historically significant, it was just old. But yet, a lot of people took pride in maintaining the old homes to the extent that we, you know, tried to find paint colors that might have been used in 1914 when the house was built. And, you know, it does, when we lived in other neighborhoods, they really were historically significant. And there is a sense of pride, and, you know, it helps property values in the people. Come in because they want to live there and they want to do their part, and we saw it in places where we live. You know, the home would turn over, and the next month there'd be a big debris box in front, and they'd be tearing stuff out and putting in new stuff, and you know, so it has a kind of it's a subtle kind of a thing, but I think there's something of value there. To your point, you know, there is something of value kind of long term to maintain some of these places.
Well, my last tip would be, please keep track of all this so when we update our comprehensive plan in a few years, we're ready to roll instead of what we went through last time, but you're aware of that. So
nice if we had all those districts under our
plan. It would be nice. Thank you very much, Barb. This is very helpful and insightful. Thank you. With that, we can either come to your group next year or you can come back to our group. Moving on, agenda topic 8, update on plan commission staff contact. Tracy or Trevor?
I was negligent. I should have introduced these gentlemen earlier, but I'm going to do it now. With me leaving the village, has put on two individuals to help you all with planning the zoning and take care of the daily planning the zoning task. So Trevor Fuller is our intern, and you guys probably remember him. He's working with us for about a year.
Welcome back.
And then the gentleman sitting next to him is Dave Carney, and he is actually a professional planning and zoning administrator, through Tom Scott. Yep. So he is going to be working with Trevor. So you will have the two of them that will be helping you out, and I just want them to say a few words about the hours and when they'll be here and how he would like to interact with you, so you get a chance to understand how they want to work with you and how, you know, you guys can interact, and you know, some other things you would like them to do with you as well.
Well, our relationship with the penitentiary is pretty much the same as it was before. Maybe a little more hands-on to get over stuff that Tracy dealt with before. I'll mainly be in 8 to 12 every day, Monday through Friday, except nights where the penitentiary meets or historical preservation meets. I'll be going to those meetings instead. So those were as well. So those nights, my hours will change because those would have to stay within 20 to 25 hours a week. So,
Tracy mentioned I'm Dave Kearney. I'm here to help Trevor. As you can tell, it's going to take two of us. Trevor's going to be here, as you mentioned, during the day, and my role would be more to work with him on detailed and complicated issues before I can come in with the Planning Commission help with presentations. I've done this, well, it's my background and my training. I've been doing this for 25 years. And currently with the town of Scott, prior to that, I consulted for 12 years on my own. I was with Robert Lee and Associates prior to that, the Niagara Tribe for that, and the City of West Dallas, which is suburban Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So my experience ranges from urban to rural. I've been in a crowded rooms and sweat through enough suits. So I know I can help cover on some of these as we put these issues together. I've been set up with an email so that if there's any correspondence that way, we can do it through the village email system. And I can also give you my cell phone. If you can call me anytime, we can always discuss. And I know all of you have daytime lives, so I don't have a problem discussing this in the evenings and attending meetings as necessary.
I guess a few things. First, would it be probably appropriate to send out all the contact information for them to the whole Planning Commission so we all have it? I don't know if I would work with Trevor or whoever the next chair is because my 2-year term is up next month, so it won't be me too much in the future. But typically, I would talk to Tracy about the agenda. We normally have a discussion at the end and we talk about agenda items, but then Tracy would send me or the chair the agenda, and I'd sometimes add stuff or tweak stuff or clarification question on this or that. I don't know if there's anything else that's really going to change besides, I don't know, Tracy, did you share, Alex and I had put together on Planning Commission had asked for a timeline on what we were going to deal by quarter. So besides the day-to-day fun stuff like we had meetings tonight, the Planning Commission said we'd like to basically set up by quarter what are some other planning activities we can work on. One thing you heard about tonight was zoning. We were hoping to get by this fall, start educating ourselves now on what are the different zoning code types that are out there, and then hopefully this fall, Trustee Dartle say that's the best budget proposal she's ever heard and champion that to the village board. Don't know if that'll happen or not, but that's our hope. So I guess that's something else we don't want to lose sight now that Tracy's leaving, that we want to look at some of these things like the zoning code or some of these other big picture things that are going to really benefit the village over the longer term. It was a month or two ago, yes. Yeah. And last but not least, Alex. You're doing your introductions.
Yeah, I've kind of done that before, but DWGBC is a junior this year, and he's just been great to have around and has done quite a bit of work for us as well. Anything you want to add, Alex?
I just want to say I'm grateful for the opportunity LA's provided me. I definitely had some very valuable experience and learned a ton, and that was my goal, to learn as much as possible. So definitely grateful.
Thank you. Is there any other questions Planning Commission has on the staff contact in Tracy's absence? Kendra? You seem like you want to say something.
When are you done this semester? Or this next month? Is this your last meeting that you're going to be here?
Yes.
Okay. And are we getting another intern next year?
I would assume that, maybe the new administrator would look at doing a similar type thing. Interns or, maybe the village board will look with the new administrator. Maybe they want to handle planning and zoning different. I know they've done discussion with this committee as well as economic development at looking at the position to handle planning and zoning. Mm-hmm. So things will change that way, but a lot will have to do with the new administrator and what the village board would like to do with that.
I just think it's been very helpful to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, always, it's great to have an intern. It helps so much. Yeah. Because you just can't keep up with things. So.
And one other thing we hope to continue is we did our first bike ride last year where we actually went to different developments and part of the village, and actually it was fantastic. Some of the, I guess for myself personally, like across the street is a development, and you can see where the garbage trucks just destroyed the pavement surface, and that's why every time you come to one of our meetings, somebody's saying, hey, is that pavement thing? Did you look at the thickness, and is it going to handle it? So, or we learned about the turkeys across the road and eating up the vegetation on the berm, and it's like, really? I never would have thought until you go out and see those things. So that's something sometime June, July, we'd like to pick some of the other, another part of the village that we didn't come to and just go around, spend an evening talking about it.
Wasn't Trevor on that bike ride?
Trevor was.
Yeah.
So he knows the expectation, but Dave doesn't. So that's why I'm mentioning it. We want to do it again.
I have a bicycle. That was one of the requirements.
Oh, excellent. So if nothing else on agenda topic 8, we will go to agenda topic 9, discussion on the CSM process.
I did some research into the process that the surrounding communities go through with this certified state and that. As you can see with the spreadsheet here in the back, essentially every surrounding community except for LA has some type of fee. The highest was Green Bay and Wrightstown at about 300. Most of them are in between there. Howard was pretty low at 25. As far as the approval process, we're pretty much in line with the other communities. So not much to do there. I would recommend that the Village of LA does propose some sort of fee. I think most developers expect it at this point, and I don't think it really deter anybody. So that would be my recommendation.
Well, and we don't see that many CSMs in a typical year. It's only a handful, is my recollection. And I guess one question, Tracy, how much staff time does staff, I mean, you get this in?
No, there is a fair amount of staff time, you know, just getting information. The building inspector has to review it. The planning and zoning administrator reviews it. Comes then getting it to plan commission and then getting it out to village board. So there is, you know, depending on how much detail and how in-depth the CSM is, I mean, you could spend total staff time maybe 10 hours, 10 to 15 hours, you know, just shepherding it through the process.
And we're giving that free right now. Boy, are we a nice community. Wow. I guess one other question I have, and Alex, you might not have researched this. What does Brown County charge for their review of the CSMs? That's okay if you don't have it. I was thinking of that, and I'm like, hey. So that might be something to check on. I guess.
I think they're like $600 or $700. They're quite a bit higher.
Okay.
Because everyone, they have a totally separate process, obviously, that the CSM has to go through with Brown County, and then we do a process, and every other community does. So, and they're more in depth. They do a fairly intensive
study of
the CSMs that come
through. The CSMs that we sent them CSMs for review. How does that process work?
Brown County?
Right, because Brown County's reviewed the last two we've done here, right?
Yeah, the developer or whoever's providing or doing the CSM. Knows they have to go to Brown County also. Yeah. So they go through that process. We don't really get involved with that end of it. We just do ours, and then we tell them, and they usually know that needs to go to Brown County as well.
Okay, so the developer pays that fee separately.
Right. Pays it separately.
And there's no fee between us and Brown County. Okay.
Well,
Okay.
We're asked to make a recommendation. I mean, seeing we're doing nothing right now, my gut, and we can discuss this, but I'll throw this out and start the discussion. I think $100 might be appropriate to start if it's, or is that way too low on staff time? If you said 10 hours, that might be, maybe we need to go a little higher. I don't want to go too extreme. I think sometimes incrementals, it's better to have something than nothing. Mm-hmm. What does the rest of the Planning Commission think?
200.
200? Can I get a 250? Okay. So we have, I'm trying to make it a little fun sometimes.
I was thinking about 200 also.
Okay, 200? Okay, I got a lot of head nods. Is there anybody that totally disagrees they can't live with a 200 recommendation? I would accept a motion to make a recommendation for that.
I'll move that we recommend to the board that the village charge a fee for CSM approval in the amount of $200 to be reviewed every 5 years.
Thank you, Roger. Is there a second?
I'll
second. By Kendrahan. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you. Agenda topic 10, UWGB students' recommendations from strengthening a community's identity report, inconsistencies between comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance.
I took a look at the document that the UWGB students did back in 2010, and just kind of looked to see if we have made changes based on the recommendations since then, what we did change and what we didn't. As you can see, we haven't changed anything in the zoning ordinance. And I know you guys talked about that a lot today. Mm-hmm. Changes do need to be made there. We did change a lot of things in the comprehensive plan, which I think is good to see. A couple of things that we haven't changed, grant related to economic development and a future land use map.
I'm frankly surprised that we don't have a future land use map. I thought we talked about it, but maybe it got dropped in one of the updates, or?
I believe we have one.
It seems like we have one, but I just
don't. Yes.
It's very possible I may have missed it, but I.
Because I thought we had that, and then for a number of years I used to harp about another one, and that was we used to have a village map of properties to be. No, not I harped on that one. That's a recent harping. This is an older harping prior to everybody on this group. And that was dealing with some of the vacant lands that we had, or developable parcels. And I thought that would be a really cool tool for economic development, but I was told we started an economic development committee. So there are some things besides this list that probably could be worked on in the future. But I thought we had a future land use map. I really did. And Trustee Dart is checking. Oh, by the way, we have our updated comprehensive plans. We put them all in the drawer so people have access to them.
I've pulled mine out many times already.
We like that the board has access to them, too. They might utilize them.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of math.
Oh, you're in transportation. You need to be in a location.
Yeah, me neither.
I think, Alex, you made a valid comment. I think there used to be one, but I don't know that it made it in the final draft, so. That's a valid comment. Is there any other plan commission comments on these materials?
I took the liberty of printing out a little table.
Okay.
Describes the different types of zoning programs different municipalities use. It's just a little two-page chart or table. Anyone would want one.
I think that would be, and it's fine to pass it out, but I think we should probably put that on the agenda for next month. And because we really, if we want to have a budget proposal by fall, we're really going to have to start talking about what do we want. And mm-hmm. I think that's, Dave, one of the challenges. We don't necessarily know all the options. I don't know if we have somebody that's a particular zoning expert, so we know what we have isn't the best, but what are the options and what can we afford as far as the options, so that might be something as we move forward for next month and the next couple of months we'd be interested in.
Okay. One of the things that we were just discussing here, his analysis was on the verbiage between the zoning code and the comprehensive plan.
Right.
Even though all of us could read, we all have a tendency to not read.
Yeah.
One of the things that would strike me as the need to review the zoning map and compare it to what should exist in a future zoning map. I mean, I'm sorry, Here's your land use map, here's your zoning map, if you jive. And as Tracy had touched on, or she was telling me some of the things that are outstanding, not exemplary outstanding,
yes.
Undone,
yes.
Are some of the zoning categories that could potentially lead to trouble. It was touched on a little bit tonight, but also things of industrial zoning that doesn't go on properly. They really need to be examined for best use, and then the tool of zoning be put in place.
And see that some of the stuff has been hodgepodge through the years. A different board says one direction. A few years later, another board comes in with a totally different perspective, and they say something else, and they never clean up the whole thing, just parts of it. So, yes.
Are you talking zoning just on village-owned property?
No, no. We're talking...
How can you change a zoning on a property that, let's say, zoned residential or zoned industrial? How can you change that zoning on that property? With the property owner?
The village can initiate a process the same as a private property owner.
Okay.
So what we would do is we look, especially where the comprehensive plan comes into play. You have the long-term think of the comprehensive plan. This is why it makes sense in that long-term perspective. The tool is zoning. And we say, if this comprehensive plan, you think of that as your blueprint. The blueprint doesn't build your house. It's the hammer and saw that's the zoning ordinance. So you say the village says, okay, this district, we start talking and touch on historic preservation. But you look at maybe a district along the river.
Mm-hmm.
Inappropriate zoning. The village initiates a neighborhood meeting. We get into public notification. And you say these are the concepts that we think are most appropriate for this area. And that being this zoning, not the old zoning. So we bring the people in, you invite them in. When I do this type of thing, I do it first with neighborhood meetings before you get into actual decision making, so people understand process, understand rules. And then you go through planning commission and public hearing and the ordinance.
So if that affects the value of that property downward, wouldn't that be open to a lawsuit with the property owner?
No.
They wouldn't?
No, because for one, future property value is an assumed number. There's no guarantees. But if you change something from commercial, from industrial, it's not necessarily diminishing the value.
No, I'm just saying if it does. If you change it to something where it does diminish the value.
Somebody could argue that, and I'll use the example from tonight. The neighborhood says an apartment will diminish my value. The apartment developer will say, if you downzone my property, you just diminish my value. Your job as a planning commission is to look at community good. And that's not necessarily dollars. It's community perspective of health, safety, and general welfare. So yes, you can raise temperatures. People can have opinions. But it's community good. And that's the point of it. Is, we have conversations already about trails. What is the context of that trail if you have an industrial zoning? Probably gone. You want to have something nice, commercial zoning. Historic preservation, I like the expression of how can you have pride in or hope for your future if you have no pride in the past? So Alloway has pride in the past, there's hope for the future. So commercial development along the river might have a historic context because it was the river that put us on the map. So this is what I think when we start talking about zoning. It's not an individual property owner will focus on the property line.
Mm-hmm.
But your job and the village board's job is to take a step back and look at that big picture and say, how do we move the village forward to do it better?
Does that affect the current property owner at that point in time?
Absolutely. That person.
Well, if you have like an industry there and it's no longer industry, it's commercial, mm-hmm. the industry has to leave.
No. It would be on a case-by-case basis. It can be done. Well, several different ways. To start with, put it in the perspective of the neighborhood or the environment where it's set. Invite neighbors. And we're working on hypothetical, so it's a little bit hard. But somebody really likes the idea, somebody hates the idea. Mm-hmm. The rezoning that takes place might become an incremental rezoning. So you get one piece done at a time. It could be done, in, let's say, a block sense. This section should be rezoned, even though it's 3 to 4 parcels. The village has the right to override the interests of an individual. Not that you necessarily, that's where the village board decides. If there's an existing business, you don't want to drive the business out. Mm-hmm. I know you're not going to do that. But at least you know then what that long-term perspective is. Is economic development the other avenue? If that business is no longer suitable in that location, can we find a home for that business where it is suitable? Maybe it's outgrown itself. We don't want it to wait, but we need it in another place. So, of course, every scenario has multiple alternatives. And I don't want to remember the box too much there. But, mm-hmm. but these are definitely things that the Planning Commission should be exploring and be educated on.
So if nothing else on agenda topic 10, we will go to agenda topic 11, Center for Land Use Education Options. I think we had talked about was maybe inviting the Economic Development Committee to that. I don't know if we said the board. I don't know the new makeup of the board with the April elections, if that would be a good thing, or we could just copy them, and if they want to show up, they're more than welcome. And I'm not sure who would lead that. I mean, somebody's got to be the contact, probably Trevor or Dave, when the contact comes from Stephen's point, but I think that some of their materials has been fantastic. When we looked at when we changed to a planning commission, we had no idea. We went from a zoning committee to a planning commission, and they had some top-notch materials. And I know they've given planning commission workshops. I think we had 2 or 3 members go last year to that. So I'm expecting very good products for the zoning also. I don't know, is there other topics we should be asking them to prepare for besides the zoning, or should we just focus on the zoning as our big picture topic for right now? Just want to throw that out there. We don't have to answer that tonight. But feel free to email me or Trevor if you have some thoughts on that. And with that, agenda topic 12, next meeting date and agenda items. Do you have the date of the next meeting?
It's on Memorial Day.
Ooh.
That's a bad day.
That's a bad day.
Is that the 26th?
Yeah, I'm around too.
Is that the 26th Memorial Day?
Yep.
I think
I looked
it up.
Yeah.
Does everyone kind of know what their schedules are or not really? Is there any...
How far out?
Well, I'm looking at May and it's a fun month. The 19th? Yes. But I think at some of that time we were going through like big documents, so we were having a special meeting to go through. But I'm almost thinking we're going to need to get to the point where we focus our one meeting just on zoning. I think there's enough material there. We don't need to decide that tonight, but I'm thinking that the next chair might want to do that in the next few months. So do we want to wait till push the May meeting into early June? And then also keep our...
Or the 19th would work for me.
And I guess I'll say the group normally would say, Tracy, is there anything that you think is coming? Any CSMs, any conditional use, any... Is there anything that you're hearing? Anything from the board? Or is it probably we're pretty safe to push back that May meeting?
No, I don't think there's anything really pending. There's something that's going to the board next week. On the 6th, that may come back to you, but I don't think it'll be ready that quick. I think if you went to June, even if, like you said, we went early in June or something, and that, you know, did your Memorial Day one early in June, that might work. You can always change it if something comes to Trevor and he's like, oh, we really should get together. He's like, I think you really need to get together the week before Memorial Day or something and try to get this through.
So, how does June 2nd, it is a Monday, sound pretty decent?
Mm-hmm.
6:30? And then Trevor, you'll be handling the agenda duties now? Okay.
If I can ask the Plan Commission, if you have no agenda items, or if you have a very light agenda, would you want to start taking up some of the issues of budget items and things like that, fill in.
What we typically do is we take care of the people's business first. So we do any CSMs or if somebody has a matter, we deal with that first. And then we backload our safe routes to school plans or whatever other discussions that we have that nobody wants to wait around for. And so sometimes if it gets late enough, we'll just postpone those until the next meeting. But, yeah, we kind of do that as flexibility. The other thing we've done is, as I mentioned before, when we updated the comprehensive plan, we just had dedicated meetings to the comprehensive plan. We also did some of the materials for the TIP district. I think we might have some special meetings where we just looked at some of the materials that we produced. We did the same thing for the site plan review. I think we had some special meetings. So I would say absolutely. If you have materials, I'd say get it to Trevor. And I guess that's one thing before we get into that. What agenda items do we think we have for next month? I guess besides the list that Alex had put together, we should look at that and kind of look at the quarter. I don't have the list memorized, sorry. What's on that list? There might be some things on there that we had. And then, yes, Dave, feel free if you want to. I think with our group and Dave, this is a second meeting, so I would say you don't need to start at like an advanced level on the zoning, but it might make sense to wait and see what UW-Stevens Point can do also. Maybe it's more of a prep thing to get us ready for when they come in. What are some questions we can ask them so we can really grill them so we know what our options are? Does that sound... Anybody?
Well, the only thing...
Yes.
I mean, you already gave them an item, right?
I gave them an
just
item.
Just this you were just talking about.
Yes, that is an item, okay. Potentially, yes.
So I'm thinking of a separate item.
Okay, sure.
Perhaps we should discuss or get some information on, and mainly it's transportation planning through the village, to see how we should be involved with that. Right now it seems to be just in the purview of the Department of Public Works without consultation. And
well, we have individual members that are serving on, like, the Riverside Committee, and what other, is there other groups we have members on? Because there's the two committees for the Riverside Committee. Howard's on one. Who else? Barb's on one.
Well, yeah, that's...
Right. You're saying the public works, yeah, we don't get involved in those discussions.
Right. That's at the detail level. But at kind of the overall planning level, it would seem like we should have some influence on the process for determining, you know, how streets and roads are treated as they're redeveloped.
And right now, we're not, as you know, we're not anywhere near that. I mean, Tracy started giving us updates on, like, Hoffman Road. We didn't even know it was going to be reconstructed. So we said, hey, let's start giving us, we should know, is it going to be a 5-foot bike lane? Is it going to be a gravel road? What's it going to be? Talking urban section, rural section. So I agree, but I don't know if that's something. I had heard they might be revamping the Public Works Committee anyways. I mean, maybe there should be a Plan Commission representative that serves on that group, or at least the chair of this group could maybe get their minutes. But see, that's sometimes too late. I think sometimes you need the agenda, because like I get the minutes, but it's like, great, they decided this. Okay, I don't know what the context was.
Yeah, I don't have any concept for how this should go. I just think it's an issue we should discuss to see if there's... if we feel we should have some sort of influence on the process besides what's in the comprehensive plan already. And if so, what sort of discussions do we need to have to make an effective recommendation to the board? So.
I think it would definitely work. I mean, when we're doing road projects, we know well ahead of time what roads we're going to do. We have to budget for them, we have to borrow for them, whatever. So I think it's just something that we have to keep in mind, and the public works director just needs to know that you would like to be involved in that. And I think there's plenty of time, and there's the ability to certainly do that. It's just making a change on how we look at that stuff. So I don't think that would be a problem.
And some things, like if it's a resurfacing road project, there's no change to the footprint. If it's a reconstruct or adding sidewalk or it's by a school, well, wait a second. We have recommendations from Safe Routes to School plans. Then maybe we would want to be involved in it. But Roger is right. We're not even aware that the discussion's happening. I do agree with you. So we could add that, Sherry, as an agenda topic. I'm not sure what the appropriate... we could talk about it here. I don't know if that would... we would just...
well, that's why we have staff.
But do we go right to the board? Or yeah, we can... okay, we can talk about that next time. Any other agenda topics for June 2nd? I would say that's appropriate, because if we wait too long and include the big picture, we're going to miss our opportunity to look at anything and make any recommendations for the Riverside Corridor. So I think that's a good suggestion. Anything else? With that, agenda topic 13, adjournment. Is there a motion to adjourn? Please. All right. Hansen, second by Dart. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed nay. The motion carries. Thank you, everybody.